ink? Oh, steel. Oh, I want the pin back.
Yeah, exactly.
Although they're only like $10 in my camera. All right. Everyone ready to have some fun? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and call the October 6th True Commission meeting to order. And we can start by introducing ourselves from, let's try my right today. So, Jeff?
Jeff Clements, Council Research. Thanks.
Raymond Day, Southeast CPAC.
Daniel Henry, City Council.
Bruce Tyson, Southwest CPAC.
Awesome. Now that everyone has been able to introduce themselves, we have one excused absence, Dr. Chambliss, who is excused for today's meeting. Hopefully everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes from our September 8th meeting. If there is no corrections or changes that need to be made, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
All right, moved and seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing no discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you so much, everyone. We have one comment card for public comment. Mr. John Nooney, you have 3 minutes once you start speaking. And if you can introduce yourself for the record in the microphone, that'd be great.
Sure. My name's John Nooney. Name and address is on file. And, you know, I just wanted to take this opportunity. You know, I see on the agenda for new business, selection of next research project. Well, I've been coming here for a while, you know, just with concerns, you know, about our waterways. I think the waterways just completely crushed, destroyed. Access is just being eliminated. And especially with our FINE projects. FINE, that's an acronym for the Florida Inland Navigation District, Special Taxing District. You know, Duval County's a taxpaying member. And 2021-0075 was our FINE projects, you know, 2 years ago. Last year was 2022-0035. And so this year we have new leadership on waterways. And that consists of Nick Howland, Leanne Cumber, and Randy DeFore. You know, Brenda Priestley-Jackson is on there, but she turned in a resignation on that, you know, to Council President Freeman. But the point is, you know, with that new leadership, there were no committees for FIND. Now, after 20 years, I'm in absolute shock and disbelief with that. So when it comes to researching a new project, look at the FIND. You know, I think there's just so many backroom deals going on with that. I live on Pottsburg Creek. And also I'm a member of the CPAC, Planning 3 District. And, you know, a lot of backroom deals on that one, 2021-0650, 2022-0398. Super Bowl weekend, February 12th and 13th, the clear cutting of the 3,000 block of Parental Home Road. You know, I've gone to the Environmental Protection Board, you know, Melissa Long. You know, she's the, the chief on that. You know, Terry Carr. You know, I go to everybody, and nobody... It's just crickets. And so, you know, right now, you know, we got this resiliency stuff coming up. You know, hundreds, if not billions of dollars being, you know, shifted to that. And so anyway, when it comes to the waterways and even downtown, you know, we're getting crushed, absolutely obliterated. If you were to ask Daryl Joseph, head of the Parks Direct, you know, where can you launch a kayak on Hogan's Creek? Even ask KEOS today. They say. And this is years, decades later. And so, anyway, the true taxation, revenue, utilization of expenditures. Look at the waterways. I'll tell you what, it's embarrassing. Like, who really should be just, like, out the door tomorrow when it comes to that kind of stuff? And like I said, you know, the Waterways Commission meeting, you know, it'll be the 12th, this Wednesday. You know, I've got dozens of examples of waterway issues that I just can't even begin to, you know, just put them all down on the speaker card. But there's a lot of issues. And, you know, from artificial reefs, you know, just to access, you know, But anyway, as far as this commission, investigate the waterways. And I think you'll find that there's just a pocket of money that you're going to be going like, hey, go check out Riverview. That was a fine project, $1 million. And you see what they're doing. Go check that one out. I mean, you're going to shake your head. Because I go back even a decade on that one. And so anyway, that's the only construction project. Everything else is designed. So they get shifted around for 2 years in between. So, that's some big stuff. And even on Pottsburg Creek, there's a construction for that one, with all wet sports. And you know what? That one should be canned, So I don't know how much more time I have, but...
You've actually gone over, but bring it in for a landing, that'd be great.
Listen, thank you for listening. And just always remember, too, 2017-160, that's public participation. The opportunity to address the legislative body before a vote is taken. And thank goodness that is still taking place at the CPAC 3 meetings, but it is not taking place during the Jacksonville City Council processes. And that's a real big loss of freedom. Thank you, Chairman, for listening.
No problem. Thank you. All right. Auditor's report. What you got for us, Tommy?
Office has released one report.
Got a question to you? I think I was here the last time you did the original audit. That's when we used to meet up on the fourth floor. Only memory recall I have about it.
I don't have a background. Just a Thank you. I know what you're talking about.
Any other questions? I mean, I looked at the ERP payment stuff that you sent to Jeff. I appreciate you locking that down. Thanks, Jeff, for sending that. I just had a quick question, a series of questions. After I looked at this, I tried to go back on the council's, I forgot what the module is called, that you can go look at past legislation.
Bill search.
Thank you. On the bill search to look at the bills in which these tranches are kind of pushed out. I was curious about two things in particular. And I wish I had my notes with you because I kind of had written it down, so I'm going off of memory. I know you gave the exhibits of what the agreements would have been, and I skimmed the bill summary in terms of who's responsible for managing these contracts, and it looked like it was finance. But then the agreement also had the grants office as like notices or stuff that's part of the agreement should go to. Do you know if finance is directly managing those contracts, if it's the grant office that's doing it, or is it a combination of both? Okay. You don't have to do it now, but whenever you can you let Jeff know? Because I would love to be able to invite that individual or designee to kind of speak to how they are doing the contract management for particularly the entities that got the tranche one. It was called the for-profit and non-for-profit business support line item. That was $7,020,000. Mm-hmm. Everything else kind of seems like it's C-related spending. So I'm not really interested in those. But since that particular line item probably went to entities that are outside of government. The list you gave me kind of gives me a portion of that. The other pieces of legislation gave me the other idea. But I was wanting to see the actual agreements that they signed, if there have been any kind of contract amendments that they've done since then, and then kind of get a better idea as to terms of how they're managing those contracts. Because if they're just saying we gave them the money, it was just to push out dollars to be a lifeline, and that's about it, okay, but it'd be great to have that kind of on the record, because I know at some point during a discussion when we were getting these dollars, and it was a combination of between the coronavirus dollars and then the ARP dollars, I believe Brian Hughes said that they had hired a consultant firm to help the city manage some of the federal requirements that they had to deal with the money. And I imagine whoever is responsible for these contracts would have an idea as to how that process has evolved over the course of the last 2 years. So that's what I'm trying to figure out, so that way we can discuss it further, because I know that was one of the areas I know that I was interested in for the next research project, because it kind of ties into like contract management, and I think this is a perfect kind of test case to kind of see how we're doing it. And the second question that I had was when it comes to the auditing requirements, I know it's pretty standard for the city to include language that the city council auditor's office, the inspector general, has rights to essentially audit anyone that receives federal dollars. Dollars in general. I shouldn't have said federal specific. But do you know, to the best of your knowledge, if the council auditor's office has or plans to do any spot audits for any recipients that received dollars at all? Because I'm just not familiar how often you guys exercise that right that you usually have. Because I was wondering, I know usually when I'm not a grant writer, so I'm not going to pretend as if I am. But I know a lot of times when I speak to grant professionals, they've said that when sometimes entities are receiving dollars, either the state or county, and they're pushing that out to subgrantees, they'll have their agreements will have like benchmarks in which that organization is supposed to kind of live to. To be able to spend those dollars, and the agreement that I'm assuming that was part of the legislation that they signed doesn't really provide any benchmarks. It talks about reporting. It talks about living up to the requirements of what ordinance, state statute, ARP, the federal dollars are supposed to be spent. But there's no kind of benchmarks in terms of you must spend the money within this or ish. Unless I skim that out. I don't think there was any, I don't remember seeing any kind of like this confidence in the second tranche. Right, but there's nothing in the agreement that speaks to an attestation or certification or anything that the recipients have to attest to that fact. It kind of leaves it onto them to self-report.
One thing is, I don't notice, I don't know if it's amounts or 50 cents off. So, I was at the UF Health step up to 35 million was on the. UFL step up to 40 million, and now they got 9,724,406. Step up if they had to go to 35, and then they wanted to go to 40, they should only do another 5 million. Instead, they got 9,724,406.
By the way, oh, go ahead.
Health care claims paid a flat $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
pay health care plans.
I think Tommy did, not one Tommy, Jeff, didn't you speak, I was asking something very similar to this at the last meeting, I think answered it in a roundabout way, and I'm not sure. I may have asked it the question, in essence, about why was these funds being spent on it? It seemed like employee-related costs, and you said that the city was using those dollars to, I can't remember when you said supplement or to, because we're a self-insurer. But does that ring a bell at all?
Vaguely. Yeah, I think that the amounts that they're allocating to these various things are not, don't represent dollars already spent that we're reimbursing. I think this is just basically like you said, here's $170 million, what are we going to do with it? We're going to put $50 million in septic tanks, we're going to do $20 million to employee salaries, we're going to put $7 million in health insurance.
And then somewhere down the road, we're going to get a piece of paper back or maybe a report back.
I presume that, like for that, for the health insurance, that the costs are more than $7 million, that we're going to use $7 million of the federal in lieu of using $7 million of our own out of 10 or 15 or whatever it is as a total.
Water requirements is that a lot of upon demand at no cost to the city, the grant recipient. Was spent where it was supposed to be spent.
You're singing the same language that I've been saying in a roundabout way for 2 years, but.
I was with it for 17 years, okay? That's why I say I had to deal with those issues. I guess my question is somebody going to hold them accountable to the dollars they were given, written on a piece of paper that we can say, okay, end of the game, all going to add up to that $340 or $350 million.
I believe when we had the treasurer here 4 or 5 months at this point, the city is required to submit, I think either quarterly or I don't know what the frequency is, reports to the Department of Treasury as to how they're spending the dollars and where it was spent in explanations. But I would be really curious. Is it just a matter of them moving $7 million from one trust account into another trust account and that's it? Or is that the only way you would track it? Or from what Mr. Tyson is saying, is there other ways in which they would report those dollars? one bucket of money for to fill that, so that way they could use what they would have spent.
I think it's longer than that even. I think at one of the budget hearings they talked about, probably on this very subject, I think it's been like 7 years since the employee cost has gone up, and they said that this is the last year that they can hold it down, and it's because they used that ARP money.
That mean that you're going off a giant cliff?
There, but when you wave action, but
I'm gonna run. I know. Rolling back in. Anyone have any other questions for Tommy? So, moral of that very insightful conversation is, hopefully we'll be able to have either someone from the grants office or Department of Finance Department. Reversed it to speak to dollars that have been spent and reporting that will show how the dollars were ultimately spent. So the requirements or benchmarks that the city has placed for contract management for recipients that receive dollars under the for-profit and non-for-profit business support. If that's one person, great. If that's two people, then we'll figure out split up that presentation. for that. No audit committee. Is there anything within the bill summary that was sent out by Jeff within the last couple of weeks that caught anyone's interest that they would like? Jeff, there was one bill. I know Twitter is not real life. There was one bill that got a lot of people's attention last week. It was the incentive package that they were doing for it was Jaxport related.
Liquefied natural gas.
Yes. Can you speak from what you know in greater detail in terms of what encompasses that package?
Do you know the bill number?
I could find it. Oh,
it's to us in a special
716.
No, this is another one. Different company. Yeah. Let's see.
Oh, yes, you did send it as a separate.
Loading economic development agreement. Jax LNG is the company. They want to build a new plant on Dames Point Road. It's almost right under the Dames Point Bridge. It's just to the right as you're going north on the bridge. Yeah, just to the east of the bridge. $113 million private capital investment, 10 new jobs. It's a REV grant based on 50% of the increase in the property taxes generated by the project for 10 years. It requires a minimum capital investment of $80 million before they can get anything, and the creation of the 10 jobs. Tankers, cargo ships. Extra drive. Oh, on Norman, on the west side. Actually, they have an existing facility there. This is an expansion of their existing manufacturing and storage facility. Adding new machinery and equipment to expand their production and storage of LNG. They are looking at port cities. I think it doesn't say specifically if they're going to fuel ships with it or if they're producing it for export. We export a lot of it to the Caribbean, apparently.
Okay. I guess I think this kind of answered it, but the one question I was trying to figure out is, I think the byline of what got a lot of attention was the total incentives of the $5 million for 10 jobs. I was just curious because it looks like the summary kind of talks to, not the bill summary, but the, I guess, the economic development summary. It goes into a lot more greater detail about the metrics that it has to meet in order for you to be eligible for a rev rent. But in essence, was one of the main reasons why they did this is because Jacksonville wasn't the only place that we're considering doing this. We're in competition with other places.
Yes. It says that in the administration's fact sheet that they are. City of Jacksonville's financial incentive proposed is a material factor in its decision to expand its facility in Jacksonville. Somewhere it says that they are looking at other port cities.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Any other bills that caught anyone's interest? I know I kind of said that already. Yes, sir. Specific? Big boogeyman of the finance. Would you find that out or Jeff find that out?
We'll work it out.
Okay, so going on the chair's comments, I don't have any one chair comments in particular. I think a lot of the things that I'll kind of talk about will be in the selection of the next research project. So anyone have any old business before we go to new business? Okay. Did we end up issuing that letter that we voted on at the last meeting regarding the quarterly summaries? Was that something that I had to, I could have easily had something that I needed to do regarding that? I know when we voted on it, it was to submit something to, I think it was both to finance, to Mr. Grivey, and to also the council auditor's office. But was that something that we needed to craft, or were you going to do that, or should we?
Clearly neither one of us did it, so. you want me to take a crack at it? Okay.
Ah, see, it's my fault.
Requesting
so this is my bad. I know, Jeff, you already said that you would take a crack at it, but I can. Should have done that. I can start it off and send it. Have to do it.
Whichever way is okay with me.
Okay. I'll come up with something really short and then I'll send it to you and you can look at it and give me your professional opinion as to where that's
okay. Put it on letterhead so that you can then sign it. Okay.
Cool. New business. So selection of next research projects. We talked about this a lot towards the end of the meeting. I know it was a really long meeting last time, but does anyone have any thoughts about what we discussed last meeting in terms of the projects that we wanted to focus on, any changes you wanted to make or anything that you wanted to add?
I wasn't at the last meeting, but are you, and I read over the suggestion. I like the Public's Work project. Dashboard like the JTA is something everyone to the community would be very good.
was when you suggested. You said you were. Did you end up looking at any of the transition documents that you said that you're?
Yeah, I went by, I saw the US-1,
No, I hear the same thing at my.
On the other hand, how many billions of dollars do we in city services? From between US-1 and I-95, US-1 and 9B. I moved to Nocatee. All of these.
Thank you.
Jacksonville and St. John. Billions of dollars. So, I just theoretically, the Kids Hope Alliance, I mean, they contract out probably 90% of their budget. Lots of nonprofits that
If I could comment, I seem to be hearing several different things. One issue is, why do we see a bunch of people standing around on the side of the road not working? Well, that's a management question. You could bring somebody in from Public Works and say, how do you manage your people? You know, supervising, how much manpower do you allocate to a project? That's one thing. How much do we do in-house versus how much do we contract out is another question. What's the dividing line between we can do it up to here, once it gets past $2 or $3 million, then
state law requires
then it's my understanding, little as it is, was that it's sort of a matter for Public Works to say, well, we could put two crews out there. We could send 8 guys and a couple of trucks. Hello. And a bulldozer, and we could probably get it done, but it's going to take us a month. If it's that big, we might as well just pay somebody who does that all the time and let them do it. We'll take those two crews and the bulldozer and the trucks, and we'll do 3 other things that we can do in-house and just let somebody else do the big stuff. There's also the matter of, once we contract with somebody, you're going to do Racetrack Road, we're going to pay you $10 million, and then something goes wrong. Well, how did it go wrong? Who failed to notice something? Or what changed in the middle of the project that FDOT said, oh, wait, we're going to do something over here. We're going to need you to take all those poles down. Well, when did somebody know that? Or why didn't somebody know that? So there are just like several different aspects of what's going on here that you could delve into one or all of them. And I think it's going to be different questions to different people depending on what you decide is your real interest here. Or if you're interested in all of it, then it's going to probably take several visits from several different people to explain how they do what they do and who coordinates with whom and
process. Follows up, and then the other side of it, because it just seems like overruns, and most of the contracts have provisions in there too. If an overrun happens, whatever, but are we following those provisions? Are we making sure that that's what they say? Because I just think that my experience is that I think there's millions of dollars a year that are wasted. And an issue now, last week, and now you've got a brand new one. Been with the Public Works Department, but he's not. So, there again, you're going to have. But Jonathan, the knowledge that we would have been able to tap into isn't there. I mean, somebody may be able to talk to him and, you know, maybe. Not with the city anymore, so.
I understand that.
But my point when we talk about this, in the process, how it starts, who does it all, and example as we go through this, be able to look at the different parts.
I agree. What
process? How did it get going? Who was involved? How did they get involved? Was there some kind of a written agreement to set down and do that as to what was going to be done? Yeah, interlocal agreement, you know. So that would give us the, you know, that an example, that would give us kind of something to go by to do the step by step.
Or is this one example?
Our pilot project?
I think there is some merit in what projects go where. While it may be everything's fine, the perception we have that.
That issue has been raised in Lee County.
So I think that's a very issue. Probably shouldn't take too much to figure out kind of how it's done. You're not talking about a project in where. You're looking at what's the process in selecting how a project is assigned. Where it's assigned, what steps does it go through? I think that would be a shorter term study than the other one we're talking about, the case management.
Yeah, because there's one thing I think we also probably need to identify is kind of goes to what Jeff was talking about. Do we need to identify which bucket these projects are funded by? Because that will probably add clarification. How projects are selected, depending on where the funds are coming from. That will differentiate how those projects are coming from.
All of it related to public works is very important. Because the question is, how many other cases are there? It just so happens that that one's within your area and you've noticed it, but how many others are around the city that no one has? I was trying to think. Nothing in particular, but of course now I'm going to start looking.
The only thing, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, the only thing, I don't live in Riverside anymore, but the only thing I've heard about this one, within the last 5 or 10 years, when they changed certain roads from being to yes, and then when they added the parking lanes.
Ah, yes.
Want to then
I think
projects in within public works.
If I understand what you're saying, Commissioner Tyson, I think, and Commissioner Roundsville, I think the first step is identifying. To establish how projects are selected, build the framework in terms of what that process is, in terms of the project timeline and the intricacies of how it kind of develops over time, and then using that knowledge to have
start global and go granular.
Correct. Because you have to be able to know what the process is before you can do the case.
That's fine.
That is what you're saying.
Find out all the
options. What if Racetrack Road is being funded by the state? I could call our council member and find out, because he would probably know.
That's a state project.
Actually, it's two council members now. That portion of it would be
just as it approaches 9B, just. Entire part that's in Duval County, parts that are in St. John's County are in.
Jeff, did everything that we kind of said make sense to you? How we kind of build that next step to move forward?
Well, let me sort of read it to you here.
Let me ask you this real quick. What it get in your view of this knowledge base? So based on your knowledge, how would public works Public Works handle all of the CIP?
No. They deal with whatever's in their portfolio, so roads, drainage, mowing, yeah.
Mowing city rights of way, so to speak.
Right, which they contract out.
Right.
But parks would do their own, so parks, community centers, that sort of stuff would fall under the Parks and Rec Department. Public buildings is going to be under, that would be under Public Works.
So tackle Public Works.
What's your question then?
I was just saying, you know, all they do is, do they fix potholes? Do they, that contracted out? What does Public Works, what is in their portfolio? What are their responsibilities? How do they meet those responsibilities? What is their responsibility? How do they
Yeah, well, I think the thing to do then, as you said, it's kind of a shame that John Pappas is not with us anymore, because he's good at explaining those things. But I think you're raising good questions. What do you all do in-house? What's your portfolio? And he used to be able to, well, you know, we have 4,800 miles of roads. We have 12,000 miles of ditches. We have 10,500 drainage inlets, and we 8 baffle boxes and all that stuff. But I'm sure his successor, who's been at Public Works for a long time, he will bring a list of all the things that they're responsible for. I think one important thing is, how do they decide, what do they do in-house with city forces versus what do they contract out? What's the break point? What is their decision mechanism? Is it how much money it is? Is it how long it's going to take us internally? Is it how complicated it is? If it's a bridge, we don't do bridges. But, you know, that sort of thing. And then that might be one meeting's worth right there, just getting an understanding of what is their department, what is their portfolio,
what are their divisions, what do the different
right
divisions.
What do they do? And then maybe another meeting is, all right, tell us, as far as, let's talk about road projects, roads and bridges, how do we decide which, I mean, they've got a list of probably 100 things or more that need doing. How do you prioritize them? How do you decide what gets put in the CIP every year? How do we decide, like I said, what are we going to do in-house? What are we going to contract out? I'm sure they contract it for the projects that they're going to contract out for construction. I would imagine they contract out the design and engineering. Although we do have an engineering division that probably does some of the smaller stuff in-house. How do you decide what to do design-wise? In
traffic engineer, Chris LeDoux.
Yep, he's in Public Works. So that could be another whole meeting of how do you decide what to do in-house and out-of-house? How do you determine? I mean, there's a bidding process. Well, you don't bid for professional services, but you have a request for proposals. It's sort of a team effort. The Public Works Department would say, we need a designer who can design expanding this roadway from 2 lanes to 4 lanes. And then they...
Everything in their request, because they're going to send out the proposal, they're going to send out the...
Then procurement, yeah. Procurement's going to craft the RFP.
You've got to have all the, every little I dotted and T crossed and the whole nine yards when you send out. Little, I wasn't as specific. Well, I started out with Solid Waste Department when it was a department. Up and as they some of the divisions that I worked with, they didn't have anymore. I ended up safety officer working on risk management. Several big projects. And they still have them.
So I can see a multi-meeting process.
That would help gather the information for
right.
us if we get those in 1, 2, 3 meetings. Steve.
And then once you've built up that background of how things are supposed to work, then take a meeting. Let's take the racetrack road as a case study. Well, the first thing we'll need to do is look in the CIP and see if that's even us.
Right.
I mean, if it's pick one that you can use as a sample, as a case study. Depends on how long your discussion takes. That's it. Really going to depend.
Oh, if we can get people to come talk. They have that we can use to start. Everything we want to know.
First meeting.
From the first.
How candid will they be as we...
People we're going to talk to, I mean, both the people we're going to talk to are going to be
civil service primarily, except the department heads and division. They have civil service protections.
Approach it with the getting answers and moving forward rather than. We know that you're wasting tons of money every year. We want to nitpick and find out where. Instead of pointing an accusing finger, be more transparent with the city and with the citizens, know where their money's going, because. The big thing is. You hear about is it's all downtown now. It's all around the stadium. All this ton they hear, read it, and learn the news. $5 million here, $15 million there, to riverfront. They don't know how much of it's private, how much of it's not. But I can assure you, there's a ton of it that's not.
And the other part is if it's a X because it's rebated back to the property owner.
I would suspect you'd be starting with the Public Works Director.
For the next meeting, I guess that would be. If it's a designee, just making sure it's someone. First meeting.
I wonder if it might be worth perhaps writing a letter to him to explain who the commission is and what your interest is in undertaking this project, just to kind of introduce yourself. And
would you be able to help with that?
I can do that, yes.
You do a good job.
Get information so we give out the proper information. Do it because we've done it. Whoever's going to come. We're not sitting here with guns loaded to shoot out of the water. We're here to get all the facts we can to see if our issues, and if there are, what can we do to help?
Traffic engineering, real estate, public buildings, and helpful maybe on this initial. Headed, we would be interested right away in stormwater management. Right away in storm.
No, you would. I saw your reaction.
How that is sourced out.
Yeah.
The timing of it. How do they determine when they're going to do what? I'll just say, I've noticed this year, not responsive. Curiosity, because I think they've fallen down in their job this year.
Traffic engineering, yes. Installs, maintains, regulates.
real estate division and public
So it looks like when I look at the minutes, we've essentially fused first, third, and fourth items that we talked about in one way or another. So consolidation. Yay. The only other thing, and I guess this is something we have to decide whether or not we want to push it to the back of the year after we finish this one, or if we want to do the project simultaneously, is contract management practices. And that's more of a procurement question. Obviously, there's some contract element pieces that we're going to figure out with Public Works, but is that something that we want to do as the next project after we've completed this one at the same time? Preferences?
Well, maybe once we get started on the Public Works, we'll have a better idea and a determination as to how long it's going to take. I don't know, depending on how much.
They all should go by. No matter whether you're Parks and Rec, whether you're project that's going to require contracts, they all have the same guidelines to go by to write their contracts. Into of it is how do you decide who gets these projects? So when you're looking at allocation of funds, whether it be CIP or city funds or whatever, you're going to naturally, I think, gravitate to how you try to get that project in there. I think that's kind of a good way you're going to do when you start talking about allocation. Question should come up. Well, how do you decide? You're not going to get anything done over here. Part of those questioning.
Like we have a way to move forward. Okay. Election of officers of 22 to 23. Jeff, I know you put this on the.
Not particularly, no.
So The last time we did elections was pre-COVID. So right now I'm chair. Dr. Chambliss is vice chair, and we don't have a secretary. We're down to 5 members now. Anyone interested? Because I know we've done elections in a roundabout way. We've gone around the table and talked about where everyone's interests are. We've just kind of started off by opening it up for anyone that's just expressed the interest immediately. I'm open to whatever preference.
After so long, established pattern.
I don't think there is really, at least in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's more a matter of who volunteers.
Basically,
I think they're probably in the bylaws. Probably say you can't serve more than 2 terms. Is it 3? Yeah, most recently it's been a matter of volunteers.
I have served since...
He was appointed by me.
That's funny. I've been chair since 2020, I believe.
Okay.
When I took over...
You were not. You were chair. When Muse came and spoke.
True, I just became chair at that point.
Just become chair.
Because I took over for... No, wait, was I vice chair at that point? Well, I took over for Commissioner Chambliss, or was I chair? Not Chambliss.
You spoke as the chair, I think.
Brunson. Or is it right after Brunson had...
And that was in November. And you were chair.
That's when I came on, you were chair.
Came in 19.
And you came in like May.
No. COVID was going on. I think it was late 19.
Okay.
Around the around the same time. I started coming to meetings late 19.
Or you have a volunteer for vice chair. Anyone interested in being chair or secretary? Okay. I guess I'm the tribute for anyone interested in being secretary. Bearing in mind that it doesn't have any official functions, it's just a matter of succession.
Okay.
Let me ask Jeff.
And the secretary becomes vice chair.
If the chair doesn't attend a meeting and the vice chair doesn't attend a meeting, you're next in line to run the meeting.
Someone has to make all of these. Or just a motion, or how would it work, Jeff?
I think if you are unanimous, you could sort of do it by acclamation, or a motion to do it by acclamation rather than voting on all of them.
I move that the volunteer to serve. Another question would be, can in that case you would have to second the motion, but
Robert's rules.
I think given as small a group as you are, you've got barely enough people to transact business, so I think we wouldn't really be sticklers for.
She did, but you could be an honorary second.
Too much fun.
All in favor say
aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Cool. Any commissioner comments?
No more comments.
All right. So our next meeting is on the 3rd of November, at which case we hopefully have Mr. Long, was that his name, or a representative from Public Works to be here so that way we'd be able to start our discussion for our next research project. I will work on the letter that I was supposed to do last month regarding the quarterly summaries, and then Jeff will do the letter regarding the invitation to Mr. Long, explaining what we're looking into and the purpose of the invitation. Anything else that we need to cover before? Seeing no objection, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
News at 4:12 p.m.